with networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more. Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
On CBS Sports Radio, wild, wacky, woolly football weekend. College on Saturday, NFL yesterday still. Packers and Lions to come in Week 9 in the National Football League. That is Brian Jones. Ah! I'm Andrew Bogish. Ah! And one more time in this sequence for Gio. Everything back to normal tomorrow. This is it for now.
Sure.
Yeah, who knows what Thanksgiving, Christmas, and vacation days will bring, but this is... This is it for now. We go back to normal tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So hang in there, buddy.
There is no normal on Gio
Jones. Three more hours. And then you're, you know.
I'll see if I can make it.
Your life is your life again. All of this, as always, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. A lot to get to in these 3 hours. James Laurinaitis, college football analyst for the Big Ten Network, will join us, as will Sage Rosenfeld's longtime NFL QB. James in hour two, Sage in hour number three.
If James really wants to talk college football, I expected my alma mater to lose, but I'm sure he didn't expect his Buckeyes to go down with 55 points allowed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, you could certainly hit us up on the phone lines about at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The Ohio State and Penn State losses basically mean it's Wisconsin or Boston. It might not even be good enough for the Badgers for the Big Ten in the college football playoff semifinals. But that is mostly for hour number two. Let us begin with the NFL, fresh off another crazy Sunday with so many questions, new questions to answer, old questions remaining unanswered. I mean, boy, how about those Giants? Where do you want to begin? Let's begin with this, because I'm as speechless as their cool as you know what head coach Ben McAdoo is. It was, I believe, 7-7 after the first quarter, Giants and Rams yesterday in New Jersey, and then there were 17 points in less than 8 minutes scored by the Rams. At one point, they scored a 3rd and 33. There was a beautiful pass, 67 yards from Goff. To Sammy Watkins. There's a blocked punt in this game as well. It was just a disaster. But as the Rams started the rout into halftime, Ben McAdoo had this exchange then post game when things were all said and done.
What did you say then at halftime?
Yeah. So was that a
that
direct
worked.
Quote?
That
is that the problem?
What could you say to this team? What could you say?
I mean, and the video
coming off a bye, right?
That is correct.
What could you say? You're fresh. We got some guys healthy, possibly those who could come back and play. Of course, Beckham Jr.'s been out. Marshall, they're out for the foreseeable future. But everyone else were pretty healthy, other than Jenkins being suspended because he couldn't get his behind back in time after having a few days off, which is inexcusable. So he shouldn't have to say anything. But yes, in that position, you got to give us something. You have to share something. Maybe he should have said, well, it's not made for TV. What I said to these guys at halftime cannot be shared with you because it was expletive after expletive after expletive, okay? So there you go. But give us something other than the dead air that I sometimes give on this show. You know, that pregnant pause doesn't work.
You've never stayed silent as long as he just did.
No, not that long. So that's unfortunate for him. That is horrible. Horrible decision by him not to say something. He looks like he now has the deer in the headlights look, and he's had that for a while. And now in that setting, you give the media nothing, zilch, zero. Yeah, I'm sure in your position it's hard to foster any type of explanation for what we witnessed yesterday. Now, I've been a part of a team. We were actually winning, though, when our bonehead cornerback, Paul Bierman, love you, Paul, gave up a 3rd-and-25 for a touchdown, and we ended up losing the ball game. But I'm watching this. First, I couldn't believe it. Like, 2nd-and-30-something? What the heck just happened?
3rd-and-33 now. I don't know.
No. Before that. Oh, okay, I'm saying that, and I said, 30? Is that a 3? And then it's 3rd-and-33. Fine. They're going to get off the field. Great. And Robert Woods, prior to this play, was it Woods? It was Woods on that 3rd-and-33. Yeah. He and Landon Collins had gotten into it, so Collins is giving him the business. And so Woods gets the last laugh. 3rd-and-33 just runs through the middle of their defense, a little wide receiver screen, and you know what's coming. Plays like that, because they don't have plays drawn up for 3rd-and-33, 3rd-and-20, anything like that. You know what's coming. Everyone's yelling two things. Screen, draw. Screen, draw. That's it. They can't run anything else. What do? A little wide receiver screen right through the middle of your defense, and no one acts as if they care. Eli Apple did nothing. Maybe he needs to go and hug his mama some more. So maybe she should speak for him.
Play.
Yeah, maybe she should, because he gave you nothing, and that's a first-round pick. Nothing on that play. No one gave them anything, and it was on from there.
I have no actual stats to back this up. There may be stats. But as a Giant fan who has watched almost every snap for I don't know how long now, there is not a worse, and this is with Spagnuolo, without Spagnuolo, now that he's back, there is not a worse third down defense in the world. They lead the NFL in giving up third and long conversions, but never before have they allowed a touchdown basically untouched on 3rd-and-33. Now, the visual, by the way, of McAdoo's non-comment where he's standing there in his Pete-esque giant poncho, and he's wider than the podium, and he's just looking around and moving and just saying nothing. I mean, the dude's got to go. Now, I don't think he's going to go now. As bad as this is, 1-7 and 51-23 yesterday, just absolutely embarrassed, a complete no-show. People said they gave up. When did they give in or give down? What's the difference of give up?
When did they give up?
Right, when were they in to then back out of that game? I guess at 7-7 in the first quarter, the Rams are just warming up. But I don't know that they make a change in season, but one's coming the second week 17 is over.
Where is your leader, Eli Manning? Where is your leader? Where's your two-time Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah.
Where is he in all of this? When does he step up and say something other than what he's already said, which is pretty much nothing?
Right.
And he's now, not always are your quarterbacks going to be the main leaders on your teams, but for the most part, they are. And here's a guy that's a 2-time Super Bowl MVP. So you've got to step up to the forefront. You have to be that leader in these times of despair, and you're living them right now. It's not like this is the first time the Giants haven't played poorly and haven't made the playoffs. This is the first time in a long time where they've been sitting there with just one win, and you're more than halfway through a season, of course. So he may not have seen this movie before, but you've been in dire straits. So what have you learned from those situations as far as being a leader on this football team, and why aren't you stepping up and demanding that these guys play better? Why aren't you demanding that they at least act as if they care? Because you could tell that they have gone in the tank and they can't wait for this season to be over. And I've been on a 1-15 team.
Only halfway
done. I understand that, but no way in hell were we expected to go to a Super Bowl, let alone make the playoffs coming into a season. So I know what it's like. It's difficult to go into that facility, but that's your job. You shouldn't tank. And they tank. And I had this conversation with Bob Papa a couple weeks ago when he was on with Boomer. He and I were on, and he said, I just can't see them giving up. Well, they gave up.
Yeah.
They gave up. You saw it.
And this is after, you know, Janoris Jenkins does whatever and gets sent home for the week. After Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie has his little mini insubordination and doesn't play that game in Denver. They are off the rails. Like, arguably never before. Again, I'm under 40, so I haven't lived the entire Giant.
Good for lure. You.
I don't remember how bad it was pre-Parcells and Sims. Obviously, I remember Ray Hanley, but nothing has been... Nothing has been like this, and yesterday was just an utter disaster, which only trumps what the Broncos didn't do in Philadelphia. I mean, Denver should send a note to the Giants, say thanks for covering our butts, because the Broncos went in, and the one thing they could always do was play defense while whatever quarterback was in there was sucking, and yesterday they gave up 419. They had nothing for the Eagles, who continue
51 there as well.
7 straight wins. They're 8-1 overall. Carson Wentz now has 17 touchdown passes in his last 5 games, and we'll connect this later on to New Orleans and to Seattle. But I'm calling the NFC. Who's slowing the Eagles down right now?
I don't know. Hopefully my Cowboys can, and they have them in a couple weeks. They go to Atlanta this next week while the Eagles are on a bye, so they're going to be fresh when they roll into Dallas. But I can't see anyone slowing them down. 197 yards rushing versus the league's best defense, the Broncos there. But you had 3 backs that just did what they wanted. Ajayi coming over from the Dolphins. He has 77 yards. Corey Clement, I think Corey's a rookie out of Wisconsin. He runs pretty well. And, of course, LeGarrette Blount did the same thing. And so they did what they wanted. Wentz, once again, efficient, but 17, 19 of 26, somewhere around there. 4 touchdown passes.
Only 200 yards.
Right. He didn't pass for a lot. And then he gave over to Nick Foles there late in that ball game. So the Eagles are flying high. Unfortunately for the NFC East teams, they are the bell cow currently and look the part. So they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender and maybe the favorites right now.
Brock Osweiler on that game looked like Brock Osweiler, who hadn't played yet this season. Just some really, really bad throws in that one. Not sure it made any real difference. They were going to lose that one no matter what, the way their defense wasn't playing. But Brock looked like Brock, and the Broncos all of a sudden now have lost 4 straight. They're 5-5-6. They're 3-5, and Philly just rolls to 8-1. So you have Wentz and Goff yesterday. I mean, just
look great,
dealing.
Don't they? Look great.
I mean, they really did. And then Kirk Cousins goes to Seattle, and they're winning a baseball game for a while, 7-2, 10-2. It's 10-8 going into the fourth quarter. 2 Seattle touchdown passes. They lead, and then they go 70 yards in 35 seconds. 2 great throws by Cousins.
Outstanding throws.
The finesse over the top for the first one, and then the deep one down the sideline. Docks in a diving catch. He's 6 inches away from tumbling into the end zone for a much-needed fantasy touchdown for Bogish, but whatever. Stopped inside the one.
Well, let's give Brian Quick credit for that first pass. Because he looked inside, then he had to turn his body outside to make a heck of a catch. Yeah. And so for him to adjust on that play, that was exceptional. And then Dotson, who's now rounding into shape, it seems, another former number one pick out of TCU, he made a diving catch and almost got in the end zone because he wasn't touched down. But the Redskins, to come back in that situation on the road, a loud place after the Seahawks went up by 4, tremendous resolve by that football team and Cousin, taking that pressure all afternoon long, going up against the Legion of Doom. There by the Seahawks, and then to stand in there in the waning moments and get a victory, that was huge for them.
And really, Seattle, like, just do me a favor. I hitch my wagon to you. I can't have the Eagles winning this whole thing. I just can't. And I thought maybe you were figuring things out. All the offense last week, the defense making some big plays, and then you let this team walk in and take nothing away from Washington. It's a great win. They saved their season, basically.
Good
with this
defense
win yesterday.
By the Redskins.
Good defense by them. Great quarterback play. But, I mean, they've got basically me, Mike, and Pete on the offensive line, and they're getting all around Cousins. but they can't make the one play to slow them down late, and they, you know, they can only score 8 points through the first three quarters. I mean, give me something.
You got so many guys injured on that offensive line. You're pulling cats off the street, and yet you were able to hold up in the waning moments of that
in
ball
Seattle.
Game. In Seattle, going up against that pressure and to allow Cousins time to look downfield and throw some deep balls. So kudos to that makeshift offensive line.
You know, and as always, we hit another mile marker in the NFL where everyone's already played 8 or 9 games now, so we're halfway home. And we know next to nothing. And I know a lot of people love that about this league, but I always find myself being angry at it because I don't like doubt. I kind of like knowing what's in front of us, and I don't like teams making us look stupid when we think they're going to win. And then I sat here Friday and told you that Seattle's going to handle this game, was going to win going away.
Yeah, you look stupid.
And they can't do anything against this Redskins team.
You discounted Washington's defense? Now, I know the offensive issues, but defensively, they can bow their necks and get after you on that side of the ball. And then Josh Norman's back, so I'm not surprised his defense played as well as they did. Russell Wilson, a couple picks in this ball game.
Yeah, and they just can't run. The guys on TV, Burkhart and Charles Davis, were goofing about it. It's kind of funny, but it's not if you're the Seahawks.
Right.
How they really want to be a run team still, but they can't run the football.
Yeah,
and
Dwayne Brown, there's a reason they traded for Dwayne Brown from the Texans, because they want to be able to run the rock, and they've tried to go the cheap route by turning guys who played defensive line or basketball primarily and making those guys offensive linemen, and now they have to go out and make some expenditures on a bona fide offensive player like a Dwayne Brown. And the first week there, of course, and so maybe they didn't want to lean on him too much, but they're going to have to moving forward.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. An interesting day in the NFC South yesterday. The Panthers and the Falcons hooked up, as did the Saints and the Buccaneers. We learned a few things about the present with all four teams involved, and then Cam Newton gave us a history lesson as well, which we all should immediately forget. Still so much more to get to from week 9 in the NFL, and still have not really touched college football. We had all of those ranked meetings, ranked on ranked opponents on Saturday, and they gave us the drama we expected. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
This is LA Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Portugal the Man. This is the coolest music I'm aware of at the moment.
Really?
Oh, no, and Thunder, Imagine Dragons.
You said Portugal is a man?
Portugal the Man.
Oh, the man, yes. Yeah. Nice little video.
Portugal, comma, the man.
Cool, gotcha.
But a girl is singing.
Yeah.
So she's not the man.
She's good. That's good for her. I mean, but
yeah, for us.
You never know.
Doing more is brought to you by the Home Depot. Shut up the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do, Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who is doing more for his team. Jared Goff doing more for his team. The second-year QB threw a career-high 4 touchdown passes, whatever, as the Rams crushed the Giants 51-17 at MetLife Stadium. It's Gio and Jones on a Monday morning. Bogish in for Gio. He is back in his normal seat here tomorrow. But as usual, when I move over a seat, Brad Heller takes mine. So here is Brad. Hello, sir.
Good morning, guys.
What's your update?
All right, we'll start with the Sunday night game. Marshawn Lynch was back in beast mode.
Now they move Cook to the right. They stack the receivers. Cooper behind Roberts right, Crabtree left. They give it to Lynch, coming straight ahead. Breaks a tackle. First down. Lynch into the end zone. Touchdown! Raiders!
Greg Pop of the call on Compass Media. 2 touchdown runs for Lynch and his return from a 1-game suspension. Raiders beat the Dolphins in Miami 27-24. A couple of teams dropped 51 on the board, starting with the Rams.
Goff again, bootlegs out to his right. He sets his feet, looks deep down the middle. Sammy Watkins, 5 yards beyond the defense, reaches out at the 10 and makes the catch, and strolls in for a bomb of a touchdown.
J.B. Long, Rams Radio Network. 4 touchdown passes for Jared Goff in a 51-17 rout of the Giants. Carson Wentz also 4 touchdown passes. Eagles 51, Broncos 23. 7 straight wins for Philly. They've got the best record in the NFL at 8-1. Maybe this was Ezekiel Elliott's final game before suspension. He scored the go-ahead touchdown. Cowboys beat the Chiefs in Dallas 28-17. In Seattle, Rob Kelly's one-yard touchdown run with just under a minute to go, giving the Redskins a 17-14 win over the Seahawks. Kirk Cousins credits the offensive line, which was down three starters.
They stayed upbeat. They had a, you know, the eye of the tiger all game long, and just kept playing.
Leading a 70-yard drive in 35 seconds after Russell Wilson hit Doug Baldwin for the go-ahead touchdown at the time. Elsewhere, Adrian Peterson, a career-high 37 carries, 159 on the ground. Cardinals beat the Niners 20-10. A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey were ejected for fighting the second quarter of the Jaguars' 23-7 win over the Bengals. That was a big brawl. Jameis Winston instigated a mini-brawl in New Orleans while he was out with a bad shoulder. Bucks lost big to the Saints, 30-10, six straight wins for New Orleans. NBA, eight straight wins for the Celtics. They crushed the Magic, 104-88. Hawks snapped their eight-game slide, beat the Cavs, 117-115. Cleveland has lost five out of seven now. James Harden, a career-high 56. Rockets, 137. Jazz, 110. Kristaps Porzingis went off for 40. That's a new career-high for him. Knicks erased a 19-point deficit, beat the Pacers, 108-101. Gentlemen.
And now my mic's on. Thanks, Brad, so much. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I actually watched a little of that Knicks game in between.
Really?
Football. Man, at that, you know, we talked about Giannis Porzingis at the end of last week, talking a good game for his brother, eventually getting paid by the Knicks. I mean, at this point, I think on Friday I said, you know, maybe want to slow your roll a little bit, Porzingis brothers, but maybe not. Because
he's
every time,
balling.
I mean, every time you watch him, and even shy of the career-high 40 points yesterday, I mean, the guy is just 7-3. I think it was Darren Collison Corey Joseph maybe that broke him down off the dribble from the top of the arc and then drove the lane, and Porzingis is trailing him, and it looks like a teenager trailing like a 6-year-old, and the 6-year-old goes up for a layup, and here comes your big teenage brother coming flying over the top and swatting the ball away when like you think you're gonna score. It happened to me one time. I remember this playing pickup hoops at Fordham with a couple of the actual basketball players, and I remember the ball got, you know, stolen on a drive, thrown ahead. I'm going to run it down. I'm thinking, oh, nice little layup. I go up, and all of a sudden it got dark. And this Arseniy Kuchinsky, who was like 6'8", 6'9", from Russia, had just come in from behind me and just pins it to the backboard. So it got dark. I hear the thud and didn't feel anything because he went right past me and over me. And I just looked around. The play's going back the other way, and he's like laughing, punching. I'm like, all right, so I'm never doing this again. That was fun.
That was the end of your basketball career?
Well, that was the end of playing with better players.
Ah.
And then I play with people who are more on my wavelength. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So Cam Newton has said some interesting things at press conference podiums this year. Luckily, this one is all for you-know-whats and giggles. Yesterday, after the Panthers blow an early lead. Oh, no, they rallied and then held off the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. They get a win, and then Cam decided to say this after the game. I'm sorry, what?
Except for that little hole that iceberg poked into it. Right.
So if you're scoring at home, Kelvin, the Panthers of the Titanic, Kelvin Benjamin being traded is the hole that gets ripped in the ship by an iceberg. And then you plug in Devin Funchess, and we keep going straight ahead. Is that the lesson here?
Yeah, that's what it is. Plug in Funchess, plug in McCaffrey. And our hearts must go on. Yeah. Near, far, wherever you are. What a great song.
That's what Mikey said this morning. This is a really good song. Like, yeah, that's why
song.
It's like the number one song of all time.
Well, not all time, but it was up there. It's a great song.
To where, Cam? To the bottom of the ocean?
Exactly.
I don't understand. But don't worry, folks. We've just begun our descent.
So Ron Rivera's James Cameron now?
Who's the old lady?
Yeah, who's the old? Jerry Richardson has to be the owner, right?
I thought that was too easy and maybe mean, but Bart, let's go with it.
Yeah.
It's so cold, Rose. His arm just snapping
Somebody
off.
Somebody was getting on to me about seeing this movie. It's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's long.
It's long as hell, but it's good.
But it's a good movie.
Yeah. Bill Paxton. We lost Bill.
Yeah.
Lost him.
Good drawings. Good
yes.
artist. Leo
yes.
DiCaprio, yeah.
Yeah. Never found that necklace, did they? Oh, yeah, they did.
No,
the old
they
lady
did.
Had
that's
it.
The, that's
right.
That's the
old
movie.
Lady had it.
Did you see it, Brian?
Yes. It comes back to me now.
Don't spoil it for everybody.
See, I was trying to throw them off the scent, man. They didn't find their necklace.
Pete's never seen it.
Never
what
saw
happens again?
Yeah.
Never saw Titanic, man.
Does it sink?
Oh, man. No, no. According
when the
to Cam,
Germans storm
it.
Pearl Harbor.
The Germans didn't. Never mind. He's on a roll.
By the way, the Panthers won that game.
Damn it!
And the Falcons dropped
the
4-4. Christian McCaffrey. And you know what? We made fun of this last week when Marty Herney, their acting GM, said trading Kelvin Benjamin was partly to open up the run game. And lo and behold, Cam runs for 86 yards and a score.
Yep.
McCaffrey for 66 and a score. 201. They ran for 201 on the Falcons. Days after, and again, you didn't understand it, and you should know, I didn't understand it from a football perspective, but apparently Kelvin Benjamin was tackling Panther running backs because they traded him, and now all of a sudden they're running roughshod over NFL teams. I guess they knew something that we didn't,
yeah,
so kudos
dude,
to them.
Dude, those are your teammates. You're tripping, what did they say? You're tripping up our running game.
Yeah.
Like, how? How is he messing with your running game? Is he not blocking downfield when you guys break through the line of scrimmage? He's not allowing your running backs to extend plays. What do you mean he's tripping up your running game? Now we know.
Yeah.
Had to get him off the Titanic.
Good for mm-hmm. them. Good for him. Bad for the Falcons. And then bad for the Bucs. And this is the second straight Monday we're coming off a confusing Buccaneer effort, but maybe we should stop being confused by this team.
They're just not good.
They're just not good. I mean, that's it. They're just not good. Jameis is hurt even before he was hurt. I don't know if regressing or plateaued, what the right word actually is, but between Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard, they've never been as dangerous on offense as we thought they were going to be going into the year. They make the quarterback change. We were confused yesterday at first whether that was a performance decision or an injury thing. And to be honest, I thought about this as they were going back and forth on TV about it. It's very plausible to me that it was a performance change, and they throw out he's questionable to come back with his shoulder just to slow down any extra drama. Or maybe he actually is hurt. Either way, they had to go to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it didn't change anything.
Well, did you expect it to with Ryan Fitzpatrick
no.
being in there? No.
No, of course not. But, you know, who knows what happens every once in a while. I mean, he played okay the last time he came in for Jameis. They almost won the game when Jameis got hurt because Fitzpatrick came in and they rallied. But how about these Saints? Maybe that's the team, if you're looking like me, pettily because you hate the Eagles and you hate Philadelphia. You're looking for somebody to slow the Eagles down. You know, maybe it's going to be Drew Brees and the Saints because they're playing defense. They're playing offense. Alvin Kamara had 172 scrimmage yards yesterday, ran for a score, caught for another. Brees again, efficient. They got dudes taking cheap shots and surviving them from Mike Evans.
Right.
And they've won 6 in a row. So let's pay the Saints some attention.
Yeah, exactly. And that young defense they had all these neophytes to start the season, and we watched them at the beginning versus the Vikings, and they couldn't do anything. And now they're all rounding into shape. So let's give that defensive coaching staff a ton of credit for coaching up these guys, developing them. We knew they had the talent, but how quickly could they get acclimated to an NFL environment? And they're looking like they're acclimated. These guys are flying around. They're not afraid of anyone. They're playing with confidence. And they're not making a lot of mistakes, which you ordinarily would expect when you have that many new guys on your defense. So that's a credit to that defensive staff. They're doing phenomenal work.
But again, here's my concern, and it was my concern with Seattle and anybody else that you put up there to who is going to challenge the Eagles right now in the NFC. And this is true of Dallas as well. The problem is you're going to be playing the Eagles in Philadelphia. It's not like they're sitting on a trip to Seattle or sitting on a trip to the Superdome or even down to Dallas. You've got to go to Philly and beat this Eagle team. And I haven't found anybody yet that I'm confident now to say that they can go to Philly and knock off the Eagles.
Right. Philly comes to the Cowboys in the last game of the season. I think it was last year. I believe Cowboys finished there because that's when Romo came back. And
I feel like they always do,
he
right?
He played the lion's share of the game after that first series in which Dak started. So the Cowboys finished their season there in Philadelphia. So we'll find out a lot more about them when they take on the Cowboys, an impressive win by Dallas up against Kansas City, and now the new hottest play in the NFL, the Hail Mary, which essentially, as Coach Cowher called it on NFL Today or during the halftime of the game, he called it essentially a punt, and that's what it was like. It was like a wide receiver screen, a punt, and you give this guy a lot of room and his blockers time to sort out who they're going to take on. And Hill makes one miss, and then he's on into the end zone. That's just like a punt or a kickoff. We always tell that returner, you have to make one of them miss. We have the rest,
right.
And that's exactly what Hill did. That was a beautifully drawn up play and caught everyone off guard. Now you know, though, everyone will be practicing that, and we'll see if it works again. I'm going to say no, it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't see it, it's the last play of the second quarter in Dallas. They throw underneath the hill. He runs down the field. I think there's seven Cowboy defenders between the 25-yard line and the goal line. He's got three or four blockers in front of him. He lets him get ahead. They line up. He does those little kind of high step, stutter step thing, and then takes off. The one man misses, and he's in the end zone for a touchdown. And it was 14-3 Dallas, and eventually it's 17-14 Chiefs. A little mini rally there from KC. So between that Hill play, and I guess we're calling him now Hollywood Brown, his catch and run in Bedlam on Saturday, two of my favorite plays I've seen in a long time, because Brown was so fast, it blew my mind on Saturday. And then Hill, my favorite part of this, it again reminds, I'm going way back into these mismatch references, but it looked like Tyreek Hill being Tyreek Hill playing against like high schoolers. Like, he's coming down, he lines him up, and again that like high step like starts like, here we go, and then he takes off and there's just nothing anybody can do.
Well,
and all
so
of a sudden
fast.
He's in the end zone. He's like, that was easy.
And the guy's in space, and you have to have an appreciation of how talented this guy is. And watching that reminded me of former Longhorn Eric Metcalf. Eric was he was prancing around like Bambi on the football field, but you could not touch it. If you look up Eric Metcalf's stats, he has some of the best stats in all the NFL as a punt returner. This guy, I still haven't touched him. Every time I see him at a Longhorn event, I go and grab him and hug him tightly, because that's the only way I can touch him, because I couldn't anytime I was chasing him on a football field. And that's what that play reminded me of, because Eric, you'd be right there and you think you could just reach out and grab him. And no, guys with that type of athleticism, that type of talent, it is so damn hard to get just a finger on them. And Tyreek Hill making one miss, and then, I mean, he made Orlando Scandrick. This is a DB. Here's a guy who has swivel hips.
Right, who should be in the neighborhood of his quickness.
Yeah, and here's a guy that should be able to match that type of athleticism, but that's when you know you're dealing with someone special, and Tyreek Hill has special skills, and that's why he made that play work. And it'd be interesting to know how often they've practiced that, or there's something like they decided to just say, hey, let's just do a wide receiver screen and see what happens. But now you're going to have, of course, that middle backer. Everyone else is going to be at the goal line, four or five guys. You'll have a linebacker and maybe even a safety spy now on that back or a receiver who's there at the line of scrimmage, you know, the guy who's in the same lane as a Tyreek Hill. And so they'll figure it out. Defensive coordinators will figure it out. But that was just a beautifully called play, even though I didn't like it at the moment.
Enough of the pros. It's time to get back to Saturday and college football. Grab a line right now. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Explain to me the path the Big Ten has to a semifinal spot, because I don't see it at the moment, barring, obviously, teams ahead of Wisconsin losing before we get to December. But things do not look good this morning for the Big Ten after a very, very bad Saturday, but a lot of good in other places. So get on the phone lines now, and in particular, at the top of hour number two. It's Monday. We have phones. They are working. There was college football on Saturday. So only one thing is to happen in roughly 22 minutes from now. Open phones with Brian Jones, answering any college football question you may have. It might even be about the Northern Arizona quarterback getting kicked out of a game for targeting the quarterback. Ejected.
About time.
Targeting. It's about time. It's looking like a true defender. And boy, did the Montana defenders love that too when it happened over the weekend. And there was actually a real football play this weekend you might have to ask Brian about as well. All at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question to us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on when we might answer your question. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
I wasn't laughing at you, bogus. I'm just giggling at all the fisticuffs yesterday in the NFL. Just amazing fights all across the board, it seemed like. Just testing. We were just talking about the Saints and the Bucks, and Mike Evans definitely should have been kicked out of the ball game for hitting just a cheap shot on Marshawn Lattimore there on the sideline. That was wrong. And Jameis Winston, you're out of the game. Sit your butt over there on the bench. You're getting drilled 30-3 at the point. Just sit over there and be quiet. You shouldn't be talking to anyone either. So it was very chippy across the league. The 49ers, Arizona, they get into it. It was just crazy. And, of course, Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Green.
So now, Pete, as always, playing topical music coming back from break with Superstitious because on Friday's Ask the Pros, our good friend Tratis, Gary Thomas, Lil Brown Rooster on Twitter, he was the lucky winner, and he asked us if Iowa could beat Ohio State, and I think the pro and a half in the room laughed at him and said absolutely no chance. And then what did Iowa do? They embarrassed Ohio State at Iowa on Saturday. I don't even remember what the final score was because it was that much of an
55-7? 27?
I mean,
24. 55-24, the most points an Urban Meyer squad, whether it was Bowling Green, whether it was Utah, Florida, Ohio State, the most points any of his teams have ever allowed. They put it on Ohio State from the beginning. And JT Barrett ended that game versus Penn State 16-16, yeah. Started this one with a pick six, went right on to throw three more interceptions. Amani Hooker had the first one, and then Josh Jackson. How many damn Josh Jacksons are there in sports?
I mean, seriously.
I can't keep up with all of them. And I don't even want to talk about the one I picked to win down there in South Florida this weekend. Miami whipped his butt, the quarterback of Virginia Tech. We're going to go back to calling them Vo-Tech, okay?
Yeah.
Because they look like Vo-Tech, not Virginia Tech. All that. But it's Virginia Tech, not Vo-Tech. Well, they play like Vo-Tech. And so all these Josh Jackson. Anyway, Josh had three in the ball game versus Ohio State, and they just took it to him. They just whipped him from the get-go. And I thought, if it was a night game, yeah, I'd say Ohio State put him on upset alert. Because going into this ball game, Iowa had won their last four out of five versus top five teams.
Yeah.
And I know Ohio State was just out of the top five, depending on which ranking you were looking at. In the CFP, they're at six. So,
yeah, number three in the AP was right there.
Peak. Right, so they had really beaten up on those high-ranked teams coming in there, but it was an afternoon game. It soon got late for the Buckeyes. They couldn't do anything, and Akram Wiley.
I mean, it was 17-all, though. Even as bad as the start was, it was 17-all, and then the free fall began.
30-some
never
points.
Stopped.
Yeah, in the first half, and Nathan Stanley looked great, and that was a hell of a whipping that Iowa put on those guys. I didn't like those uniforms, but they were. Iowa should probably keep those. Wear those to Madison this weekend. So that was a very impressive win by Kirk Ferentz and his guys. And speaking of a guy having no words, what could Urban Meyer say? Nothing. We got our butts whipped.
And you mentioned most points ever allowed by him by one of his teams. Also the worst loss one of his teams ever took from an unranked opponent. The 31-point differential.
Right. Remember, it was 31-0 last year in the college football playoff versus Clemson.
But at least that was Clemson in the
right.
in the playoff, not Iowa. Tratis, I mean, the way you predicted this on Friday, you should host the second hour of the show. That's what you deserve after as Mike.
Now, did
puts
he say
down.
They would win, or did he just inquire whether or not?
Good enough for me. If he was entertaining the possibility of Iowa winning,
well,
that's close
we
enough.
We entertained it, but we said, no, not this week. We entertained it. I mean, it wasn't too far-fetched.
Right.
I didn't expect him to post 55 points. I, you know, maybe get a game-winning field goal late in the ballgame. And I did say this, though. I said this would be a tougher defense for Ohio State to penetrate than was Penn State. And I was correct in that assessment because those guys up front, Josie Jewell at the linebacker position, Anthony Nelson at D-line, all those guys up front, they are dang good, and they showed up and showed out in this ball game. So I thought Ohio State would have a tougher time going up against that defensive line than they did versus the beleaguered Penn State defensive line. And look, beleaguered again, losing to Michigan State there in East Lansing. You had a long delay in that ball game. That game started at noon, and they had a delay. I guess they played all the way up to maybe the second quarter,
yeah.
And then they had a lengthy delay.
Three
they didn't
hours
go back
and
on
22
the,
minutes.
Right, back on the field around 4.
Yeah, and then they had a full halftime still because the coaches wanted the break for their players and whatever. Right. I mean, it was a nightmare logistically. You had Stanford and Washington State them playing on the Fox Business Network,
mm-hmm.
because all of a sudden you had three games going. You had, you know, originally on Fox was this Big Ten game, then the delay. It was supposed to lead into the Pac-12 game while you had Bedlam on FS1. So all of a sudden, you had those three games going simultaneously. And I guess in all of the different conflict setups, Fox Business Network is the third option. And that's where you had to watch Stanford and Washington State up in Washington State. That was a good game, a good win for the Cougars. A lot of defense and Justin Falk. Why can't I always – there's a hockey player with the same name. It always throws me off when I talk about the Washington State QB.
Luke Falk.
See, this is the brain. That one at least is better than Archie Griffin and Howard Griffith and Robert Griffin III. But this
no Heisman trophies.
This is what's in my head. Justin Falk, defenseman. And I'm thinking he's not the Washington State quarterback.
And Luke Falk and the Cougars knocking off Stanford back-to-back season. That hasn't happened in forever, ever. But Bryce Love, another 50-yard-plus run in this ballgame.
That was it.
He's all they have on the offensive side of the ball, and yet he's still able to run through tackles and get in the end zone. So impressive win by the Cougs in that one, coming off their loss at Arizona. And what a game that was. Arizona and USC, and this Khalil Tate is the real deal. He had ill-advised throw there at the end of the ballgame for a pick, and SC rounded into shape. But just penalty after penalty in this game. This game lasted forever. I tried to watch that. You know, we didn't get off the set of Alabama-LSU, and we'll get into that ball game here shortly. We didn't get off the set probably 11:30, 11:45 after that game. You go home, and you want to watch that. We were watching it while we were there watching, you know, the other late games. But get home, and okay, I'm going to finish this one, then go to bed. Man, I couldn't finish it. It just dragged on forever. Flag after flag.
And what?
Targeting calls. We have to review.
84
and all
points,
that.
Too.
Yeah. And so, I'll finish this one in the morning. But Khalil Tate is the truth. And Sam Darnold made some throws in that game that were NFL quality. He put on a show. One, running to his left and hitting his running back down the sideline on a wheel route. And Ronald Jones, the second, first-round talent, if he can stay healthy. He reminded me of another back that plays right there in that same stadium, Todd Gurley. Not as big, not as tall as Todd Gurley, but he has that same that next gear once he gets out in the open. He can mash out and he can peel out. He has all the moves. He's very elusive. This guy is fun to watch. I don't know why he didn't go to Texas. He's from Texas, but too late for that. But he looked good, and that's a good, impressive win for USC. Back-to-back wins versus Arizona teams. I feel bad for my buddy Rich Rod, but they were in that ball game. They had it all tied up there, 35, and then, of course, SC put them away. So too many damn flags, but still a very good game. And as far as Alabama and LSU, man, LSU had there were plays for them to make,
yeah.
And they just could not make them. There were plays there. They tried to hang on as long as they could. Their defense tried to hang in there like they do each and every year. But at this point, if you're an LSU fan, you have to be so discouraged. so discouraged that you cannot knock off Alabama. Seven straight now.
But at least they scored this time.
Yeah, at least they scored, and they were able to run the rock somewhat. Darryl Williams with the long Wild Tiger, I guess they'll call their play, almost got in the end zone. And of course, we had Les Miles on the set, and he was pulling hard for the Tigers. But they just don't have enough. They don't make the plays when they need to make the plays, and they just couldn't hold up versus Bama D, and you got what you've gotten the last 6 years.
All right, another loss. Hurry up and make Mike work at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Grab a line. Think of a question. It doesn't have to be a smart one or a profound one. Just ask it of Brian. I'll give you this one. If you want to try and stump him, Brian, don't listen. Call in and ask him before Saturday at Washington State, when was the last time Stanford played a game in snow?
Ah!
Ask him that one. Or about...
I know the answer.
Where does the Big Ten go after loss from Ohio State and Penn State, which
I know the answer to that too.
Wisconsin.
The toilet.
In comparison, what is Oklahoma beating Oklahoma State 100-96 mean in Bedlam for the Big 12? And when are we firing Tom Herman after losing
at TCU? I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. So much more college football in hour number two with you. And then eventually with James Laurinaitis of the Big Ten Network. He's on Geo and Jones as well, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.